To those of you who receive our tapes, may they be used of the Lord to be a blessing to your soul. Write me anytime I can be of spiritual help to you. This is the Sunday night, May the 12th, 1996 service of the Landmark Baptist Church of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and your speaker is Joe Wilson. We want to turn to 2 Samuel. There are several scriptures that I want to read to you tonight, which will give you the story that I'll be preaching about. And as I preach them then, I'll not refer back, just refer to them and not turn back to them. I'm going to read a good bit of scripture just now. You turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9, but I'm going to just read now in 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 12 through 17. Jonathan and David are meeting next to the last time they ever meet. And these words are said by Jonathan. Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee and show it unto thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only while I yet live show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. Know not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require at the hand of David's enemy. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Now keep in mind a covenant between David and Jonathan. Now in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4. If you read, this is the time of the murder of Ishbosheth. After he had been king a couple of years over Israel, after Saul had died in battle. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. When tidings came that Israel had been defeated and Saul and Jonathan had been killed. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. Now let's read 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am. Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruit, and that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. And Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Now in 2 Samuel chapter 16, I'll read some. Mainly we'll be in chapter 9, but you can follow in the reading. David is fleeing from Absalom now. Absalom had entered into Jerusalem, was taking over the kingdom, and David is fleeing from Absalom. And in chapter 16, verse 1 through 4, when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by thee? And Ziba said, the ashes be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, where is thy master's son? Talking about Mephibosheth. And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. And Ziba is lying about Mephibosheth. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertain unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. I've written in my Bible, hypocrite. And then in chapter 19, verse 24 through 30, David is defeated. Absalom has been defeated. And David is returning to Jerusalem. And we read here, and Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. And he had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant, Mephibosheth, unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet thou didst set thy servant among them and eat at thy table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace into his own house. And I'm very disappointed in David's actions relative to Ziba and Mephibosheth in these matters. Now in chapter 21 and verse 7, we read these words. Some men of descendants of Saul are to be slain to satisfy the wrath of the Gibeonites for what Saul had done to them. But the king spared Mephibosheth. He delivered seven of the sons of Saul to be hanged by the Gibeonites But he spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. Now I speak to you on this subject, from rags to riches through the grace of a king. From rags to riches through the grace of a king. And this is a story about Mephibosheth. But I certainly will apply it, and I believe that after we have recognized it as a historical story, that we can apply it to the spiritual truth. How that you and I were brought from spiritual rags and spiritual poverty by the grace of a king and set at the king's table. You and I were in a situation like Mephibosheth was in. But the Lord Jesus has brought us from that place and adopted us into the family of God and promised to provide for our future and set us at the king's table. First, think of the condition of Mephibosheth. The word Mephib means destroying, and Sheph means shame. Mephibosheth means a destructive and shameful thing. The name given to him, I do not know why he was given that name, but I can see in that, I can apply that to our shameful condition of depravity by nature. Oh, what shameful beings we were. The Bible says of men all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags in the sight of God. The Bible tells us that from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet, there is nothing sound in man except wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oh, what terrible sinners men are. You know, as much as I believe in total depravity, I am continually shocked by the things that happen in this world today. When I read of a mother starting a car and letting it go into a pond or a lake and kill, have her two children fastened in their seatbelts, that's almost unbelievable. But, of course, that's no worse than these women who have abortions, millions of them, every year. Men are totally depraved. And Mephibosheth is name meant. I'm not saying what he was, but his name meant a shameful thing. And then notice that Mephibosheth was lame on both his feet. He was not able to get out and plow the field. Someone must provide for him. He was not able. I know of no job that he could have held in that day. Here was a man with inability. And that certainly pictures the depraved sinner who is unable of himself to save or to help save himself. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. The Bible says, can the leopard change his spot or the Ethiopian his skin? Then may you do good who are accustomed to do evil. A statement in the form of a question of the utter inability of man to bring himself to salvation. John 6:44 tells us, no man can come to me. We are as unable to come to Christ for salvation as Mephibosheth was to come to the king's house by himself. Mephibosheth was lame on both his feet, in and of himself. Even though the grace was offered and that he was invited, he could never have come to the king's house in and of and by himself. So you and I, beloved friends, were totally unwilling and unable to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Now this result, this inability of Mephibosheth was the result of a fall. You remember when his nurse took him to flee, when the news came about the defeat of Saul and Jonathan, he fell. And that was the result of that was his lame condition. I apply that to the fact that all men fell in Adam. That our depraved and helpless condition is a result of the fact that God considered us in Adam, and in Adam's fall, we sinned all. And so our depraved condition and our condition of inability is the result of the fall of Adam and our fall in him. Now, Mephibosheth dwelt in Lo Debar. The word Lo in Hebrew means no. Anytime you read in the Old Testament of Lo, Lo Ami, Lo so-and-so, the word Lo means no. And Debar means pasture. And Mephibosheth dwelt in a land where there was no pasture. I apply that to the fact that in this world, there is no food, no spiritual food for mankind. Friends all about me are trying to find true joy and pleasures by sin undermined. I know the answer. I know where it is found. Only true pleasures in Jesus abound. Living in the flesh, living in this world, there is no food for the soul of man. There's nothing that will feed and strengthen and enliven and satisfy the inward being of man. The flesh can be satisfied physically with physical food. The desires of the flesh can be satisfied with the matter of sin. But what man really needs in his soul cannot be found in this world. This world is a place of no pasture. John 4:13, Jesus said, "He that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I give you, you'll never thirst." So in the things of this world, there is no spiritual and eternal satisfaction for the soul. And then Mephibosheth was in a place of great danger. If you'll study the Old Testament, the history of Israel, the northern kingdom, about different dynasties. Now, different kings may be of the same family. His son, his son, his son. But a dynasty is another family coming to power. And you have several dynasties in the northern kingdom. And usually, when one came to power, he destroyed that which was left of the former dynasty. In other words, when so-and-so was king and he was killed in battle and another man became king, fearful of what that man's sons might try to do, he just had them killed to protect his power over the throne. And so, beloved friends, according to the customs of the day, the thing David would have done had he been like the men of the world about him, he would have killed all of Saul's descendants so that they would not be able to raise an insurrection against him and maybe take him from the throne. And so far as Mephibosheth knew, he might be facing death. When a messenger came, and this message is from King David, and you're to go to the king, Mephibosheth may have been fearful that David was going to take his life. He was in a place, humanly speaking, of great danger. And of course, you and I, in all the days of sin, were in danger so far as we knew. So far as Mephibosheth knew, he was in great danger. He did not know of the covenant that Jonathan David had made. He did not know of the love that was in the heart of King David. As far as he knew, David may be wanting to take him and kill him. So, beloved friends, you and I, as far as we knew, were on the way to eternal hell. We did not know that we were the chosen of God. We did not know that God's heart was filled with love for us and that He was going to save us so long as we were unsaved. So far as we knew, we were in danger every moment of plunging from this life into eternal hell. So that was the condition of Mephibosheth, and that's the condition of lost people outside of Jesus Christ. Now, I said, from rags to riches through the grace of a king. Well, David was king. What would David care about a lame man who was the son, the grandson of the worst enemy he'd ever had? Why should he be concerned about Mephibosheth? Well, there was in his heart, it says, he sat on the throne. He said, is there any left that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? The grace of a king. Mephibosheth's physical deliverance began in the heart of David. The grace of a king, it originated in the king's heart. Our salvation originated in the heart of God. Not in ourselves, not in anything we desired or we had done or we would do, but in the heart of God, in the heart of the king, there was a desire for our eternal salvation. There was grace in the heart of God towards His chosen people. He chose us in Christ from the foundation of the world. God, from the beginning, chose us to salvation through sanctification and of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So it all started in the heart and mind and will of God. We have not understood our salvation until we go back of that experience of salvation. We do not understand the depth and the fullness thereof until we trace it back to the heart of God, the love of God, and the grace of God from whence it came. This grace of King David was based on a covenant made beforehand with which Mephibosheth had nothing to do. David and Jonathan had made a covenant beforehand. Mephibosheth had nothing to do with that covenant. He did not enter into that covenant. That covenant was made between David and Jonathan, but that covenant involved the preservation and deliverance of Mephibosheth. For Jonathan said to David that after I'm dead, I want you to swear, I want you to make a covenant that you, your kindness will be upon those left of me, my descendants, that you'll be gracious, be kind to them. And David entered into a covenant with Jonathan because he loved him. And Jonathan loved David. And they entered into a covenant about Mephibosheth, that David would show kindness, would show grace to Mephibosheth. And beloved friends, the grace that God had for us, bestowed upon us, was based upon a covenant that God made with Christ before the world began. We had nothing to do with that covenant. We were not here when that covenant was made. We had no part whatsoever in that covenant, except that covenant was about us. God the Father and God the Son entered into a covenant agreement relative to the salvation of the elect of God. As Jonathan David entered into covenant relative to a future blessing for Mephibosheth, so God Almighty, the Triune God, entered into covenant relative to our salvation. The Father chose us, and the Son agreed to die for our sins, and the Spirit agreed to bring us to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this grace that was shown toward Mephibosheth was shown for Jonathan's sake. And so the grace that God shows toward us is shown for Jesus' sake. Mephibosheth was wholly undeserving. He was saved by grace apart from merit, apart from works. Now, what did grace do for Mephibosheth? Well, first of all, it chose him to be an object of deliverance. If David was going to do this for somebody, how about his mighty men? How about those men who had joined him in the cave of Adullam when he was an outlaw and when Saul hunted for him to kill him, and these men came from their home and they risked their life for David? And you read in 2 Samuel 23 about David's mighty men. You read about those three men and David in a time of loneliness and the battle that was so terrible before, and that he said, "Oh, that somebody give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem." And you can understand that Bethlehem was his home. And he had often drank the water of the well of Bethlehem. And three men broke through the line of the Philistines, went to that well, got some water and brought it back to David. Why didn't he do this for one of them? Why did David choose Mephibosheth instead of choosing some of his mighty men? How about the three mighty men they referred to so frequently in 2 Samuel 23 and later on in Chronicles? We'll never be able to explain the grace of God in election. Why does God choose whom He chooses? Because He does. You cannot explain to me why God passed this one by and chose this one. We who are chosen must bow humbly before God and give Him all the glory. There was nothing in us that He saw that He would choose us because of that. But it was of His own sovereign love and grace and will that He chose us. What did grace do for Mephibosheth? It called him and brought him to the king's house. I like this word in verse 5. David sent and fetched him. I like that word fetched. I've written there the Holy Spirit. David shows grace and the Spirit does the fetching. Ziba was to go and bring Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth couldn't come. He was lame on both his feet. But he is to be fetched to the palace. And so the blessed Holy Spirit of God fetches us, goes after us and gets us and brings us to the palace, brings us to the king's son. And we hear the good news of God's blessings upon us. And then grace called him by name. David said, "Mephibosheth." You know, Jesus said that the good shepherd knoweth his sheep by name. You know, how does he know our name? Well, he wrote it down in the book of life before the world began. He knows his sheep by name, and he calls them by name. When the time comes for them to be saved, He says, "Joe, it's your time. Jenny, it's time. Katie, it's time." And He calls us by name. And you remember when Jesus said, "Mary," and Mary didn't know who He was. But when He said, "Mary," she knew who it was. So that was a time when Jesus spoke effectually in mercy and grace and love to our hearts and brought us to know Him as Lord and Savior. Grace banishes fear. David said, the 7th verse, David said unto him, "Fear not." I'm saying that he may, according to the custom of the time. Mephibosheth could have thought, "Well, David is having me brought to the palace to kill me." That's what other kings did. When they became king, they did that to the former dynasty. Why would he let Mephibosheth live? But he said, "Don't be afraid. I will show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake." And you remember when God spoke to your heart in saving grace and said, "Don't be afraid." I remember before I saved, just the last few days, that sin lay like a heavy burden upon my soul. And I felt that If I would die, I'd go to eternal hell. And I felt that heavy burden of sin. And then Jesus spoke peace and love and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he spoke to Mephibosheth and banished fear and spoke in sovereign grace to his heart and provided everything. What did Mephibosheth provide? Himself. His lame self. His, just what he was. He had nothing. David provided everything. David said, he shall eat bread always at my table. And so Mephibosheth was brought. He didn't bring the food. He didn't do anything of it. He was in danger. He was in a sad condition. And David did all of this for him. And David said that he should be as one of the king's sons. So, beloved friends, the Lord brought us into the banqueting house. And his banner over us was love. And he said, I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you all the days of your life. And then on through eternity, I will provide for you. Even for the future, God provide. Well, you say now, that's, people say, that's dangerous. Salvation altogether by grace. People will just live any way they want to. If salvation is not by works and by what men do, and it's all by the grace of God. Well, what did the grace of God accomplish? What did David's kindness and David's love and David's grace do for Mephibosheth? Why, Mephibosheth said, why would you look, verse 8, on a dead dog like me? It humbled him. When you realize that you're saved not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to His mercy and His grace, it humbles you down before God. I've had people tell me, if I believe that doctrine of sovereign grace, I'd be so proud. I said, no. You don't know what sovereign grace is. If you believe this doctrine, it would humble you right down. You'd say, I'm a dead dog. I'm nothing. Why do you do this for me? Why are you doing me, treat me like this? And it just humbled Mephibosheth right down. And then, beloved friends, it did something for Mephibosheth that lasted all the way through. You remember, as we read, when David fled from Absalom, Mephibosheth wanted to go with him. He wanted to be with David. He would have been with David in David's rejection by the Jews at that time, and going, fleeing from his son. Mephibosheth wanted to be with David. The servant said, oh, Mephibosheth stayed in Jerusalem. He thinks they're going to give the kingdom back to him. But Mephibosheth wasn't thinking anything at all like that. Mephibosheth said, my servant told me that he was going to saddle an ass and I would ride there and I'd come and be with you. And yet my servant slandered me. And here I think David failed. I think David acted beneath himself. Beneath the great grace that he had shown to Mephibosheth. He should have punished Ziba for Ziba's lying about his master Mephibosheth. And he should have given all the land to Mephibosheth. And he just said, Mephibosheth, so I've already said that y'all divide the land. But notice Mephibosheth. I think David looks a little bad right here. But Mephibosheth shows forth the fruit of grace in the salvation of a man. While David was gone, you know what he's thinking about? He's thinking about David. He learned that David had to flee from the palace, running from his son. And he was thinking about David. He had not washed his clothes or trimmed himself. He just was just barely existing. His mind and his heart was out there with David. Instead of on the things of this world, instead of, oh, well, maybe I can get the kingdom back, his heart was with David. His body might be there because he couldn't go, but his heart was out there with King David. And his prayers were for King David. And he said there that he had not done these things. And said he wasn't going to do it till the king returned in peace. And the king said, well, said, I'll just divide the land between you. And Mephibosheth said, let him have everything. And that was a very noble statement by Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth said, let me read it to you again in chapter 20 of 2 Samuel. What a marvelous statement on the part of Mephibosheth. Chapter 19. See if I can find it now. Chapter 19 should be verse 30. Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, Lord, let him take all. For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace, said, that's all I'm interested in. I'm not interested in earthly wealth and fame. I was interested in the king. I was praying for the king's safety. And all I'm interested in that the king is safe and he's come back to his place in peace. That's what the grace of God did in the life of Mephibosheth. And that's what the grace of God will do in our lives if we meditate upon it and allow it to have its proper place and influence in our life. Here is an outstanding Old Testament picture of from rags to riches through the grace of a king. And that's the story of the ever individual salvation of the grace of God.